Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
K&C Masterpiece right here on 105 through the fan and through a miracle of engineering. We are on the air. We are live from Tolbert Garage Door in Mesquite, 3916 I-30 Frontage Road. If you want to come and see us in Mesquite, we do have G-Bag flags. We have a good amount, but this is a popular place to be, so I can't say for sure how long they're going to last.
Kevin, I'm told there will be pizza here at 10:30.
Okay.
So CC's Pizza is going to be rolling by and having some pizza. So you got, not only do you have the you got the koozies, the cups, the pins, the G-Bag flags, chances to win other things as well. I believe there are some Billy Bob's tickets to see Josh Malay and Blanco Brown and some State Fair tickets as well. We have a lot of things going on today, plus food. So we will feed you.
So my question for you then, Alec, is do you think by the time that the food is here that Colby Tolbert will be hopped up on CBD drinks?
What are you doing right now? I don't know if anybody knows that.
Oh. Hey, the last time G-Bag was here, a drink was drank, and maybe it was chugged, and he didn't exactly know what it was. And we all learned a valuable lesson that morning.
That is what it's all about, too.
All right.
Lessons.
Okay. Let's kick off the show with, well, I'm going to give you an option. How about that?
Okay, I dare you.
All right. I'm going to ask you who the Cowboys' breakout player is so far this season.
Okay.
Or you can do a combination of the quarterback power rankings and ranking the NFL divisions. Those are your options this morning. Gentlemen, will you please decide?
I want to run with the first option,
okay,
if possible, because I really do like that conversation.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right.
Who is the, I mean, you probably should have known what the question was going to be. Who is the Dallas Cowboys breakout player thus far this season? And if I'm being really honest, one of the reasons we brought this conversation to air is because you, me, Alec, Carter, we were all having this conversation, and we did not all have the same answer. And so I was intrigued by that. So Franklin, Frankel, injury attorney, text line 877-881-1053. Who do you think is the singular? Like, if you had to boil it down to one, I know there are plenty of options. You have to boil it down to one. Who do you think has been the breakout player for the Cowboys thus far this season?
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Because I want to answer the question.
Yeah.
I have an answer to it, but I want to ask something because – I feel like there are going to be some people that are like, how can there be a breakout player when they're 2-2-1? And they're just like, oh, this team's so bad. Like, I feel like that's the case. You can still have some really good highlights right now.
Sure.
On what this team is. Dak Prescott is playing at an exceptional level.
Yeah.
A lot of people are very high on what Dak's doing, and still people will not give him credit for what
right,
it is.
Right.
So that's where the discussion is really I really like this conversation. Kevin.
The very first vote I saw was for Dak.
Okay, good.
Just so
that's actually interesting to see that, too. I think it's Pickens. Obviously, there's a specific running back that I'm very fond of right now because he's helping my fantasy team so much. But Pickens, there were lots of questions about his poise, his attitude. So far, we've had one moment of him being kind of upset, right? Like,
yeah,
he threw his helmet down. That was an upsetting game.
And I look, man, I'm not trying to be just a George Pickens defender. I think that was upset about the flow of the game. And I actually don't have a particular issue with that.
And I agree with you. I wanted him to just kind of keep that bottled up, but he's competitive. And that's been the only time. And it's been about something that was happening on the field, not something else that was like I'm selfish and this.
Yeah.
It was something else. But the other thing, too, Kevin, is we need – CeeDee Lamb went down, and we needed somebody to step up. And he was like, that's why I'm here, guys. You know, like, I was brought in for this purpose specifically. So, or to be the complement to what CeeDee Lamb does. Kevin, he's provided that spark. He's provided fear in other defenses too, because they know that Flannoy's not having the game that Flannoy had if Pickens isn't on the other side.
I agree.
And so, and then you add in the balance that they're able to have with Javonte Williams and the deep ball threat. I think Pickens is the one that I'll say has been my breakout player, because a lot of people had zero expectations for him.
Okay, Alec, I want to go to you next, and then I want to get some of the fan texts, and then I'll pitch mine out. And Alec, the reason why I want to go to you is I have two distinct like options that I think are 1A and 1B, so I want to see where you go with this.
I'm going to go with somebody who had themselves a game this past Sunday against the Jets, and that is Nate Thomas, because nobody expected that offensive line to look that good with four missing starters. And now, and even before he played, we were starting to have the conversations within, you know, the local media of, could this Nate Thomas guy take somebody's job? Because he's looked that good. And it translated on Sunday. And I think that conversation is valid. And I think that he is a starting caliber player in the NFL right now. That could change if things happen throughout the next couple weeks, if he gets more playing time. But I do think that he's earned himself the conversation at bare minimum to be a starting player on this team.
See, and that is, y'all just really hit on one of the reasons that I love this conversation, because we talked about Dak. I think that's the most interesting answer of the bunch, because that feels different than some of these other answers. But your answer of Pickens, I think, is very viable. Alec, I think your answer of Nate Thomas makes all of the sense in the world. And I have kind of a 1A and 1B scenario. So, of course, I'm going to go with the person that we championed all throughout training camp. I'm going to say that the breakout player is James Houston.
Okay.
And James Houston, like, he's never going to be Micah Parsons, although he does have more sacks this season. But then again,
you think he'll finish the season with more sacks?
No, but if he did, well, what a fun time that's going to be. But then again, Jamar Chase has more solo tackles than Micah, so that's a weird thing. To me, it's James Houston or Javonte Williams are the two that I thought of. And I see a lot of votes right now for Javonte Williams. That makes all the sense in the world to me. But I'm going to go with James Houston just because, and you can make the same argument.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
For Javonte, it was going to be, we are screwed without Micah Parsons. And it's true, for the first 4 weeks, our pass rush has looked very pedestrian. But when you have seen a little something going, I feel like usually James Houston has been around.
I want to talk a little more about this real quick.
Okay.
How many people were really mad at the Cowboys front office for the Micah move? Do you think it was a half, or do you think it was less than half?
No, I think it was a half.
Okay.
I think it might have actually been a little bit more than a half. Not a lot more than a half.
We weren't. This show was not. Correct. This show has been very consistent on saying, hey, you know, when these moves are available to you and you're able to add and also save in salary cap. Like, I understand you're also very upset that they can still do these things and pay and all these things.
Yes.
But this gives you a lot more flexibility than it did before. But if James Houston finishes the season with more sacks than Micah, would that other half have to go, well, I just got to eat my words on this one because they did something right?
I think you would also have to have, because I think we have a good vibe for how fandom goes. And, like, let's face it, people hate to
move the goalposts and then say, well, what about pressures?
Actually, you know what I think is going to happen? I think you would also need the Cowboys to make the playoffs while the Packers miss the playoffs. And that is not a scenario that I believe that scenario is going to play out like that. But I'm saying, I think you would need that as well for people to go, huh. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to concede that.
Kevin, I think Javonte Williams, you know how I feel about him. Like, he's giving you so much more than you expected. his back. I talked about this yesterday with Mickey. It was less of a question, more of a statement, and I think we did that a couple times with Mickey yesterday.
We did.
Good journalism. his balance is the thing that's so amazing to me. He gets hit and he doesn't get knocked off kilter.
Right.
And then he's back and rolling the next direction, and then he's moving upfield, and he's a downfield guy, and he's running with that kind of tenacity that it takes to be the running back for a team that's doing that. And so that's that dude right there, yes, breakout player for sure. I've seen some people throw Shoddy's name in there.
Can you pause for just 1 second? I can read you a couple of these texts.
Yes.
Because I think Javonte is leading the way from the 817. It's got to be Dak or Javonte from the 214. It's Javonte. Take a load off, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
From the 903, Williams is the breakout. From the 682, Javonte is the only correct answer. And then these two
I'm fine if that's the only correct. I'm perfectly okay with that.
And then these two fun comments. What was the question like, Corey, yesterday? I wasn't ready. And then from the 432, OS guys, I'm getting married today.
What?
First of all, congratulations to you for all the money you're saving by getting married on a Thursday.
Uh-huh. Secondly,
I support that.
How did you forget you were getting married today?
I don't think they forgot. I think just, you know how like sometimes you know something and then the gravity of the situation like hits you all at
once?
Dude,
I will admit when I woke up the day of my marriage, I had forgotten that I was getting married. But I had drank a lot the night before.
What?
So it makes a lot of sense.
Oh. Look, and by the way, and Alec, look, Alec, whenever you get married, if you're worried about how it goes on that day, Corey's been married for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
He almost forgot.
Yeah, I almost forgot.
So however you feel that day, it's going to be okay. Here's what I would like, though. Alec, if it continues to be James Houston, if we can make really liberal use of that drop of me saying, who needs Micah Parsons, we have James Houston.
You know what,
Houston.
Dude? At first, we were like, we're going to need this because it's stupidly hilarious.
Yes.
Now,
and
it might be brilliantly
sarcasm.
Hilarious.
Yes.
I've seen a couple names dropped on Ferguson. And Tolo Jeff told me earlier, he was like, it can't be George and Dak because they are already established players. I replied back and said George had never played for the Cowboys. The question was, who is the breakout player for the Cowboys?
Whoa.
And so he's a Cowboys breakout player. That's my way around this. But Ferguson, again, established player, but last year was bad. Last year was not a good player. He had the injury. He had lots of moments where you were like, what are you doing, dude? He didn't look focused last year. And that was frustrating for me to see him. Somebody used the word consistent. Being consistent this year is definitely something that I agree with on Jake Ferguson, because he's a main target for Dak. He's a security blanket for Dak also, and he's providing run blocking also that's effective. But I really do like Alex Nate Thomas bit, because I agree. I think he should be a starter at some point, and I'm hoping that's the case.
Okay, so then can I ask a question to go along with that, Alec? Like I said, I think your answer makes a whole lot of sense. Do you not think that the potential for Brock Hoffman and TJ Bass to get in that conversation as well? I mean, TJ Bass is somebody that it kind of feels like we're like, oh, yeah, no, he's on the team. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brock Hoffman, he lost the competition, you know, like going back to last year. And we're like, oh, yeah, well, I guess it just wasn't in the cards. And now they're both back there playing alongside of each other. And I know they're very different in style, but it seems like that has clicked. And then I'm hopeful for Maris Leafau.
I'll wait on him.
Yeah, I get that. But I'm hopeful that if we did this conversation again in, you know, 5 or 6 weeks, that he would be right there. But I think it's really neat that you might have multiple options on the offensive line. But it does really feel like Nate Thomas could be an honest-to-goodness real-life starter.
So here's the thing. You just threw out – we threw out, what, 10 names-ish in that
yeah.
world. What was the thing that I told you was going to frustrate me so much this year? And it was – we're going to be told if this team's not doing well, guys, we're developing. You know, we're working on this is going to grow into something. And right now, this is the first time that I feel like if they told me that, I'd be like, I think you're right, rather than I think you're BSing me. And because this team does look like it has players that do need to grow and develop and become better. That is usually a, look, give us time because we need to buy time. But I don't think they need to buy time. They need to hopefully hope that the process speeds up. But I don't think they need to buy time because I think that's a reality. Some of these guys are growing into better players as a team.
And part of your reaction, part of your expectation in this segment is probably based on kind of what you were just talking about. To me, Corey, the Cowboys already made the key move that they needed to this season, and that was dealing off Micah Parsons, because I saw this team not going anywhere this season. I still don't see this team as being like a real deal, make some noise in the playoffs kind of team. So I like the idea of stockpiling assets for maybe potentially 2026, maybe potentially 2027, and building it up. But I understand there are plenty of people who are like, no, I'm tired of it. It's been 30 years. I need to win right now, damn it. And then like that torpedo, their hopes and dreams. I understand if you're mad about that. But to me, that was like never going to be the fate of this team. With Micah, without Micah, that was never going to be the direction that this team was going.
Somebody also threw Clayton Adams in there. And I know this was breakout player, but
sure.
I do appreciate what this coaching staff, this offensive coaching group's doing right now.
I get that. And you talked about wanting plenty of people mentioned Shoddy. It's going to matter if they win or lose. Like, if we're 5-2 and 1-3 weeks, then I think everyone's going to continue to love Shoddy. Mm-hmm. If all of a sudden you lose three games against mediocre to subpar opponents and you're 2-5, I'm not going to say that. But
hot seat.
But then I think his, like, aw shucks kind of, mm-hmm. you know, we got to go out there and do it is going to wear on people.
I completely agree with you, man.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.